You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that was going to tell you about a real cute green puppy. Then we learned about the reason why the puppy was green, and now it's just gross. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out this week.
Check it out. We need a jingle.
We do need a jingle, yeah.
We need a check it out jingle, and that's not that.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Well, you know what? I'll go ahead and start. The big thing I checked out last weekend was this year's OhioCon. So OhioCon is a convention that, down in Columbus, the Greater Columbus Convention Center, that is...
Isn't it the Midwest's largest anime convention?
It could be.
It very well could be. Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's kind
humongous.
Of a, it's kind of a big deal.
It is a much bigger deal than the last time I had gone to OhioCon. I remember, what was it? It must have been 10 years ago we went to OhioCon, Cody, you and I,
yeah.
Just for an afternoon, and it was not anything.
they had some down times for a couple years there. I don't know what the story is behind that.
I specifically remember the time that you and I went down, that we went into we're like, okay, we got to check out a couple of panels. We went in for a Godzilla panel, and it was five people in a room, and the person running it got up to the podium and said, okay, let's go around the room and say who our favorite Godzilla is.
And that wasn't even the person running the panel. The person running the panel had not had not shown up.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
And he was trying to placate the crowd while they waited for the guy running the panel to actually show up.
Oh, okay. All right. See, I didn't remember that part, but I remember we got up and left pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this year was completely different. Now, full disclosure, we received a couple of free passes for being part of the press, but this is a full unbiased opinion of, you know, review of the con.
We've said not nice things before. To
we
things
have.
We were invited.
We have. Yeah.
Well, not nice, but we've been honest.
We've been honest.
In the past.
Yes. This year was kind of amazing. Now, granted, I'm not that big into anime, but this is definitely, the con is definitely extended past the anime roots. It's more
of
like a pop
understanding of anime.
I have just the basest understanding. I understand what an anime is. I can point at a thing and go anime or not anime. Yeah. That's about as far as it goes. But
you knew what Lilith from Evangelion was.
I did know what that was. Yeah. Yeah. But no, there was it was packed. Like, I've gone to cons at the Columbus Convention Center, like Wizard World or a couple of the other ones, where they basically, the con is basically just the main convention hall, and like, it spills out into the food court a little bit. OhioCon took over the entire convention center.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah.
It was the entire thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when we went a couple of years ago, it was the same way.
The entire thing, and also most of the Hyatt Regency.
Yeah. Oh, it turns into a buck wild catastrophe.
It kind of does.
They had to close one of the elevators when we stayed there because somebody threw up inside of it.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that was you know, we didn't see too much of the crazy this year. We did go late. It's actually one of the only cons that I've been to that has been like late. Usually cons end around 7 p.m.
Oh,
and that's it.
OhioCon don't end.
OhioCon doesn't stop for like 3 days.
It
is like just nonstop.
Anime convention is whole weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, again, it was impressive. It was actually pretty impressive. Sat in on a couple of panels. They were fine. The one was called Anime Hell, and it was basically the pre-movie clips that Studio 35 would do. But it's like, hey, look how weird Japan commercials are.
I think we did that one.
Yeah, that one was pretty fun. I took one quick lap through the electronic dance party area, And then later on, there was a panel we went to downstairs underneath where it was happening. And I felt like the building was going to collapse because of all the jumping and the shaking. That was interesting. Went 2 days, went in costume for the second day. About every third person was in costume. It was, again, if there's one word I can use to describe it, it was impressive. Like, and, you know, different varying levels of costume. You know, some closet cosplay stuff, some that was very intricate and, like, near professionally made. Not just anime stuff. Saw a lot of, you know, superhero, you know, a lot of Batmans walking around. Couple of Supermans, one Deadpool. Only one Deadpool.
Only one. They kept it under control.
Yeah. Now, they did have a panel of that Tea Time with Deadpool guy. Have you ever been to that?
I've heard of it. I've read panel descriptions of it.
Yeah. It's fine.
I don't know if I would sit in on that.
It's not. Yeah, I didn't.
Good job on that guy making a career out of doing that.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically Deadpool roast people for an hour or something, right? Like the crowd that shows up, something like that. But yeah.
Now, if they could keep all the Deadpool activities centralized in that single panel, that would be pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. but I would say there was a good deal of My Hero Academia people.
Good.
But not like an overabundance like I kind of expected.
How many froppies?
There was one froppy.
One froppy.
Needs
more froppy.
Yeah. There was a lot of the white hair with the red eye. The guy that's fire and ice.
Oh, why can't I remember his name? It's not Bakugo. That's the explosion boy. Todoroki.
Okay.
Todoroki is his name.
The guy that is ripping off the character from the movie Sky High, War and Peace, because he was the son of a good guy and a bad guy. So he had fire and ice powers, and he was like the anti-hero of the movie.
Todoroki is just the son of a good guy who's bad.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Well, a lot of those, surprising amount of JoJo's Bizarre Adventures. You couldn't throw a rock without hitting a Dio, which is impressive because that is not an easy costume to pull off. And there were at least 10 of them.
I don't think any of the JoJo costumes are easy to pull off. No, really.
No. There was a lot of Jolene's, which is really impressive to do. Her costume is kind of nuts. Saw one good Jotaro, and he had a wig that actually faded up into the hat.
Wow.
So he looked like the animation, because on the cartoon...
You can't tell where that hat ends and the hair begins.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just the style.
Yeah. A lot of Pokemon, a lot of anime that I could not recognize.
Yeah, I've kind of dipped out of anime for the past couple seasons, so mm-hmm. I'm not... hip to the latest Japanimations.
but no actually got a handful of really good pictures for the Instagram, so if you want to go on
check those out.
Yeah,
I looked at them. I wish
we could have gotten more. Like, I only got like 25 or 30 pictures, which is a lot less than usual, but it's because it was so cram-packed that it was difficult to stop people to get pictures of that. People It was near impossible. Saw a couple of cosplay that were really pushing the public decency. a lot of guys walking around with electrical tape on their nipples.
Oh yeah,
because no
Ohio
shirt, no
law.
Shoes. Yeah,
you gotta cover them nips. It's Ohio law.
Yeah, one very disturbing Winnie the Pooh. It's been burned into my retinas. But overall, it was an enjoyable experience. I really don't have too much to complain, and I'm usually pretty fair about this kind of stuff.
Especially anime conventions.
Yeah.
You're usually not a fan.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was a good con. It was good. I would definitely go back. I would, I would go back.
We'll have to do it again and get a hotel room again, because that was a good time.
Yeah, that that was the one thing I kind of to do again. I would stay down there. We made the drive there and back both, two nights in a row. And
yeah, that's not fun.
It's not fun.
It's doable, but it's better to get a hotel room.
It's better than not going.
We very briefly flirted with the idea of getting an Airbnb, but like, yeah, we might, you know, next year we might stay down there.
If there's a walking distance Airbnb, that'd be worth it too.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and the other thing I checked out, and I could talk about this real quick. I watched the movie yesterday. Have you guys heard of this movie?
Wait, no, I know that. It's the Beatles.
Yeah. It's the Beatles one. Yeah. Really good. Really well done. It is more like, I almost said it was a little more sci-fi-ish than the trailers let on, because it looks just kind of like...
I was worried it'd be too schmaltzy.
It's actually not. I mean, you gotta like Beatles music. You can't be someone that's like, oh, the Beatles are just okay, or you can't think the Beatles are, like, overrated in any way, because you will...
I'm not one of those people.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, no, it's really good. It's a really interesting premise. It's almost like a Twilight Zone episode a little bit, but not like the sci-fi spooky kind. It's just kind of like...
The one that makes you go, huh.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's the kind that make you go, huh. And it's not just the Beatles that have disappeared. There are random other things that have also disappeared. There's one scene where the guy is like researching things and like, you know, trying to remember, write down and remember as many Beatles songs as he could. Cause the guy is a failing musician that gets hit by a bus at the exact moment of a blackout. And when he wakes up from his coma or whatever, the Beatles never existed. It's not like they just disappeared. It's like they never existed. And, he's trying to research things. And he lives at home with his parents, and he's, you know,
like a failed musician.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the scene's just going on like normal. And he just goes, oh, hey, by the way, could you grab me a Coke? And she goes, I don't understand what you're saying. In this universe, Coca-Cola doesn't exist. It's just Pepsi.
Huh?
Yeah. It's just kind of one of those things. And it's kind of a funny bit where he's typing in and trying to find other things that have disappeared. At one point he types in Oasis. And Oasis doesn't exist. And he kind of goes, that makes sense. But also Harry Potter. They make a joke that Harry Potter doesn't exist. But it's really interesting. And it is kind of a romantic comedy-ish. There is a romantic element to it. It does get a little schmaltzy at points. But there is one sequence near the end of the movie that legitimately surprised me in it. I don't know if I want to...
don't, because I might watch this now.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend... I would definitely recommend checking it out. Again...
I was curious, but like, yes. Like I was worried maybe it was too schmaltzy or...
Yeah, I would give it a recommend. And it's not something where, like, by the end, it wraps itself up. It's not like he gets hit again and the Beatles suddenly come back or anything. Like, no, it's just... This is just the world now.
The Beatles walk out of the ocean like Godzilla.
Right.
Hey, those are our songs.
Yeah, right. But without spoiling the one big kind of surprise thing that I actually went, oh, wow, like audibly when I saw it. I recommend. Go see it. Check it out. It's on DVD now. I mean, it's readily available.
Speaking of movies that are on DVD now, we watched Joker.
Oh!
Yesterday.
Yeah. Do you live in a society now?
We do. We always have. And it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah. I've been interested in seeing it. There's certain movies and certain bits of media get like a weird discourse around it when it's initially available. And sometimes it creates like a knee jerk reaction, like, no, I don't want to mess with that. And I think Joker was that situation.
Oh yeah. Cause I didn't want to see it either. And it was just morbid curiosity. Yeah. Like, hey, you want to watch the We Live in a Society clown movie, yeah, I guess.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was good. It was a legitimately good movie. Like, anything I complained about during the movie, it actually tied up later in the movie.
Oh, it did. Yeah. Oh, interesting. That's interesting.
We're kind of making fun of it. It's like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we're making fun of it. And then later in the movie, it's like, oh, that did make sense then.
Okay.
The only thing that is really bad is that it does the Batman age thing that Gotham does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes back, he goes and...
Kind of spoiler.
Kind of a spoiler. He does meet Bruce Wayne at one point, and he's like 10 years old.
Mm.
So this makes it so after he becomes Batman, Joker would be like 50.
Oh, yeah.
And it does nothing for the... The whole scene does nothing for the movie. It just... All it's there is to tie it into Batman in some way. But
yeah.
But it doesn't do anything for the movie. It doesn't add anything.
Yeah. Like, it's that is kind of a bummer. Like, but even at its... Even in the comics, at its, like... most, you know, the least amount of time between the two, there would be about a 10-year age difference, and you would be, Batman would be punching a 40-year-old Joker at its youngest. Because if you figure Joker's 20 when he falls in the acid.
Which doesn't happen in this movie.
Oh.
Kept waiting for him to go to Ace Chemicals. He never did.
Never went to Ace Chemicals.
Not
huh.
once.
Huh. But no, I mean, I've heard really good things about it, and I will get around to watching it eventually. But yeah, it was, I think, initially that knee jerk of like,
doesn't sound good on paper.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
But there are a couple scenes that are just like flat out like really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some stuff that feels like padding. Like they had six really good ideas and had to string a whole movie.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, I would say watch it. I mean, it's not bad.
Hmm.
And I've been pretty harsh on this movie on this podcast previously, but it turns out it's okay.
Okay, cool.
It's not offensively terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything without trucking out spoilers.
Yeah, You know, it's a big enough film that probably skip the spoilers. Yeah.
And it just came out on DVD, so, you know.
Yeah.
Go get it out of the red box.
Yeah, see, there you go.
A lot of dancing.
Yeah.
A surprising amount of dancing.
That was something I was, to go back to the con, you know, that big stairwell at the Greater Columbus,
yeah.
The convention center. I was really expecting to see 50 Jokers trying to dance down those steps. Didn't happen.
Is that what you're going to talk about? The stairs? How
no,
they're
I mean,
unusable now?
They're unusable now.
Oh, sure.
Because people are constantly there taking pictures, Instagram influencers and whatnot.
Yeah, sure.
Are in the, you know, going to that blighted neighborhood and just chilling.
Yeah.
Which kind of is against the entire message of the film.
Yeah. But when has that stopped people before?
It's true. Missing the point entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
It wouldn't have worked with anybody other than Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
I
kind of suspected that.
Yeah.
It seems like one of those movies where his performance would make or break kind of the whole thing.
I don't think it's a best picture contender.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. Although it's probably more interesting of a movie than whatever that Scorsese one is. The Irishman.
Oh, The Irishman. Although I've heard really good things about The Irishman. I've heard like really good things about The Irishman.
It just doesn't interest me in the slightest.
Yeah. Well, in 6 months, you'll rent it out of the red box and
be like, oh, I guess it was actually pretty good.
I guess it was pretty good.
Do you have anything else?
Check it out wise? Not really. I played the first 5 minutes of Telltale's Walking Dead final season.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was the same.
Oh.
But it's been long enough since I've played one of those that mm-hmm. I was invested.
Oh, cool.
But then I haven't had a chance to go back and look at it since. So maybe I'll update everybody on that one.
Oh, there we go. Sounds good. Yeah, I really haven't checked out much else either. On a whim, the Nintendo eShop had Stardew Valley on sale.
I saw that you were playing that the other day. It popped up on my Switch while I was playing The Witcher.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good standby until Animal Crossing comes in. It's one of those playing for the next day kind of things.
Yeah.
The gameplay loop is pretty...
Oh, it gets its hooks in you.
It gets
its
hooks
stop.
In, yeah. Yeah, I'm almost through the first year. I'm to the end of fall of the first year, so...
I've kind of wanted to jump back into it, but I'm afraid to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a farming simulator.
It's a farming
simulator. Stardew Valley is.
Yeah, it's a farming simulator, but it's also, there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there. There's a combat system for like the dungeon crawl. It's a roguelike dungeon crawler in one section.
I wouldn't say roguelike.
What's the procedurally generated?
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say, not roguelike.
It would be awful if it was if you died and you was permadeath.
Permadeath.
You lose your whole farm.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's good. It's a good little kind of time waster. I mean, it's, you definitely have to like set a timer for yourself, because if you don't, the next thing you know, it's 4 or 5 hours down the road, yeah, real time.
You're going to be like, oh, just one more day.
Just one more day.
Because something's going to happen the next day. So I got to play this.
My crops are going to pop this day. So I can just go one more day and I make a bunch of extra money. Because if I walk away, I'm going to forget where I'm at. Then I'll have to start over. No. But no, that really has been all I've been checking out.
I'm gonna make the permadeath farming game.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and you gotta eat.
Yeah.
Or you'll die and you lose your entire farm. It's called Bot the Farm.
Oh God.
I don't know what were you gonna say.
I don't know.
And then another farmer comes in. Sorry, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I had to get my pun name out. Bought the farm, trademark.
Yeah, I like that. All right, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news. Hey, we're back. That was Strange Magic by ELO. So, it's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of ties into one of our news items for the week.
It does, yeah. So, let's start off with that.
I guess we can start with that one.
Yeah.
Then.
So, reports came in this week that the director of the first Doctor Strange movie, Scott Derrickson, who's slated to direct Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, has left the project.
Citing creative differences.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an Edgar Wright all over again.
Yeah, but Ant-Man turned out okay.
Ant-Man turned out fine.
It was a good movie still.
Yeah,
This is still troubling, though.
It is, yeah.
Because sometimes you get Ant-Man, sometimes you get Solo.
Yeah, you don't want to change horses midstream, you know. And this is kind of, I'm a little
sounds like a pee thing.
It does, but yeah, it's just kind of a weird thing. Like, I'm concerned that whoever Disney and Marvel bring in to pick up where Derrickson left off on this isn't going to quite have the vision that both he had.
Not Paul Bettany's character.
Yeah, no, no.
Not that vision.
No, not that vision. Although he might show up. I mean, you never know. I mean,
actually,
this is supposed,
yeah, he might.
He could. It's tied into the WandaVision. But like, Doctor Strange, the first movie, the plot was pretty stock standard origin movie, but the visuals and just kind of the way that it was shot was what really made Doctor Strange work.
Yeah, I think.
And the fact that the Doctor Strange movies are supposed to be a little more horror like, you know, they're supposed to have a little bit more
weird,
that just kind of weird, just kind of weird, creepy kind of vibe to them. And Derrickson does that so well that I'm just kind of concerned about how this is going to go.
Yeah, it's troubling. Like, maybe they'll pull in somebody who just is going to go along with whatever the suits it.
Well, that's exactly
say.
What they're going to do. Yeah. Is they're going to bring someone in that's going to go, yes, sir, Mr. Mickey Mouse.
And then we're going to end up with like a
Solo
flavorless corporate mush.
Solo all over again.
Yeah. Corporate fiction film project. Like,
yeah, you know, I'm trying to give Disney the benefit of the doubt here, because they haven't really messed up yet.
Marvel.
But Disney.
Disney hasn't messed up Marvel yet.
Disney, yes. Okay,
other
that's
things,
fair. Disney hasn't
other
messed...
things, yes.
Okay, fair, yeah. Disney hasn't messed up Marvel yet, and they are... This is their big moneymaker right now, even more so than Star Wars currently. And I doubt they're going to make a decision that is going to ultimately hurt their brand.
They still haven't made one that's less than good.
Yeah.
They have a baseline of good
yes.
that they've managed to continue to hit.
Mm-hmm.
The first Doctor Strange was right on that
baseline. Was kind of right on that baseline. And maybe that was part of the reason Derrickson ultimately decided to leave. That maybe, I mean, maybe the things Disney was mandating or asking him to do would ultimately benefit the project. And Derrickson was like, no, I just have this specific vision.
That Doctor Strange has the face of a wolf for 90% of the film.
Yeah, right.
Well, you don't know.
My Doctor Strange is a wolf man. Yeah. And no one can tell me otherwise.
I want him to morph into a different actor other than Benedict Cumberbatch halfway through.
Sounds like that Dr. Mordred movie that Full Moon Pictures did with Reanimator. What's his name?
Oh.
The guy.
Oh, yeah. Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, that was a Doctor Strange movie in everything but name.
Yeah, they with the names filed off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm a little concerned, but I'm willing to give Disney and Marvel the benefit of the doubt here. We'll see where it goes. Now, if Doctor Strange ends up being anything less than pretty good. If it comes out and it's just baseline okay, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
Because at that point, the changes Disney had made were not for the better. They were for the same at the very least. So, yeah. Little concerned with that. But
yeah, it'll probably end up fine.
It's Doctor Strange. You know, he's fine. It's all good.
He's my favorite Marvel guy, even though his movie isn't that good.
Yeah. Well,
isn't that great?
Yeah. It's I'm interested in seeing where it goes. Honestly, I hope they continue with the storyline that they set up in the first one with Mordru. Going through and trying to wipe out magic users, that would be pretty cool. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. On the flip side of this, you know, good news for Disney, I guess.
Yeah.
So Taika Waititi is in talks to direct a Star Wars.
To do a Star Wars.
And great.
Yeah, after the Mandalorian episodes, please.
Yeah, the one he directed, I think the last one is the one he directed. And it was very good. And also still had some good jokes in there.
Oh, good. Cool.
Yeah, I would be excited to see what he does with Star Wars, depending on if they give him any sort of creative freedom.
Yeah. Right now, he can kind of do no wrong, which is great,
because
I like all the stuff that he's doing. But, I would just be worried that the only thing I would worry about with that is maybe his plate's getting a little too overloaded with, like, corporate films, because he's doing Thor Love and Thunder now.
Yeah.
If he rolls right from that into Star Wars, you know, being part of the machine for so long.
He could get fatigued.
And that leads to just okay movies.
And I've heard Jojo Rabbit is very good.
I've heard this.
I really wanted to see it when it was in theaters.
I've heard the same. I was a little leery because I don't know. I don't really want to see a dancing Adolf Hitler on screen, but I guess it's
not really Hitler.
It's an imaginary friend that just looks like Hitler. Yeah. It's a weird one.
It's complicated.
Yeah. It's a complicated film, and I'm sure once it's on DVD, I will check it out and it will probably be hilarious, but
I read the reason why he decided to play Hitler is because he knew no one else would do it.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Hey, let's round out the movie talk. What's the third movie thing we have there?
Morbius.
Yeah, that's exactly the response.
Yeah. Morbius.
Yeah. So
professional stink man Jared Leto is gonna play
Batman.
Play Batman in this Spider-Man movie.
He's playing Batman in a Spider-Man movie. That's about right. Yeah. So, okay. So Sony Pictures has renewed their contract with Marvel, allowing them to do more Marvel
adjacent
Spider-Man adjacent films like their Venom movie.
that was apparently okay.
It was good. Yeah, I liked it just fine. It was a good, it was a very good kind of funny buddy cop movie.
I'd go into this and end up feeling the same way I did about Joker, I imagine.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But so the next one that Sony is doing with very minimal Marvel involvement is a movie called Morbius, which is about a guy, Michael Morbius, who...
Which I thought was a joke. I made a joke. Like, I thought that was a...
His name is actually Michael Morbius.
That's bad.
Yeah. And he is...
It's not any worse than Stephen Strange, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter Parker.
Yeah. But, like, he is an old school... He started as a Spider-Man villain. He's kind of become more of, like, an anti-hero over time. But
what happens with vampires for some reason?
Well, yeah, it does. But, like, he's a vampire, but he's not, like, a mystical, like, magic vampire. He is a guy who used science to cure his...
blood disease.
His blood disease and accidentally turns himself into a science vampire. Like he gets bit by a million bats. Am I wrong?
Exactly.
That's kind of what happens
in the trailer.
In the trailer, he cuts his hand and then he gets bit by a million bats. And apparently that gives you echolocation powers and makes your face all messed up.
Look like my chihuahua when he's mad.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but no, this is...
And he probably also has, like, hepatitis now.
But, so this is going to be interesting. It looks like it's going to take itself too seriously. That was one of the benefits of Venom, was that...
It knew what it was doing.
It knew it was a goofy, bad movie.
It was a goofy slime man.
Everyone was kind of in on the joke on that one. This one, it looks like, just because from the nature of the plot of the movie and Jared Leto as a very self-serious
man. I don't think he could do goofy.
Well, he tried. It's called Suicide Squad. but no, it's going to be overly dramatic. The only thing that really kind of stuck out to me in this is the end of the trailer. The Vulture from Spider-Man Homecoming.
Batman shows up.
Batman shows up in the Batman movie.
I mean, yeah, Keaton.
Yeah.
Vulture shows up in the end.
He does, yeah. So there are two Batmen in this movie with Spider-Man.
There's two Batmen in the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Apparently, we didn't see it in the trailer. I had heard this before we had recorded, but apparently there is a very brief shot of like a poster of Spider-Man in one of the shots with the word murderer written underneath it. So it takes place after Far From Home, where everyone is kind of on the hunt for Spider-Man, I guess. So that means this is kind of in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the way I kind of see it's happening. I think it's going to be like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series from the first season, where the show was totally in the Marvel Universe. It totally happened. But the Marvel Cinematic Universe was like, not really. We don't talk about that. So, yeah. It's... yeah. I don't know.
Blade will kill him when the Blade movie comes out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll be it.
That's how it'll tie back in.
Yeah.
In the first scene in Blade, he'll kill Morbius.
It's like, finally. And then he moves on. Yeah. I forgot they were doing a Blade movie for a second.
Remember.
Yeah. I'm way more excited for that than this Morbius. What if Morbius shows up as a supporting character in Blade? Because he showed up as a supporting character in Blade the comic.
We could. I mean,
yeah.
I think it'd be better if they just killed him off.
Well,
at the
beginning. Well, sure. Yeah.
Deal with that, Sony. Sony is just playing like this weird game of continuity chicken with Disney's.
Well, they know they have Spider-Man in a vice, and Spider-Man, you know, even with the popularity of the rest of the Avengers, Spider-Man is still their number one.
Everybody loves Spider-Man.
Everybody loves Spider-Man. So, and Sony knows that, and Sony is like, we're not giving this up for anything. But, you know.
I wish they would, but I don't blame them for not.
Oh, I don't blame them either. No. And you know what? I'm actually kind of okay with it. I mean, we get substandard Sony Spider-Man spinoff movies. But it means Disney doesn't own everything.
Yeah, they have to work for something.
Yeah, you know? Gotta make them work for it. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, so hey, we have a little bit of game news here. So do we want to talk about the Smash thing, or do we want to talk about the myriad of game delays?
Let's talk about Delayapalooza 2020.
That's right. Yeah, we got a bunch of games that are getting delayed.
Bum, bum, bum. Actually, it's probably a good thing.
It's probably.
Because it means the teams don't have to crunch to get them out on time.
Yeah, like the Final Fantasy one, it's only getting delayed like a month, right?
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake got delayed a month.
Yeah, and you know what that tells me? It means they want to make one final pass of QA. They want to squash any last-minute bugs, yeah. And that's fine.
And they didn't want to go up against Animal Crossing.
Yeah, yeah.
The same month, isn't it?
March.
No, it's not.
March is Animal Crossing.
This was April. So
okay, same with Cyberpunk.
They didn't want to go up against Cyberpunk.
And then guess what? Cyberpunk also got moved.
Yeah.
Isn't March 30th, isn't it Animal Crossing the end of March?
I don't remember.
I think it is.
All I remember is the Animal Crossing and Doom Eternal come out on the same day.
Listen.
For tonal whiplash.
Listen, if you go up against Animal Crossing, you best not blink. And yeah. Cyberpunk and Final Fantasy VII... they blinked pretty hard.
The only person strong enough to go up against Animal Crossing
is Doom Guy.
Is Doom Guy, and he went there by choice.
Yeah.
It was supposed to come out in December, and they pushed it all the way to March.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Which it must not have been. They must have been really planning for like some gross crunch to be out by December.
Yeah.
And then that thing came out about around Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
Ridiculous crunch. And they're like, maybe we shouldn't do this to people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm okay with game delays. Listen, the game industry, it's tough to make a game.
Yeah.
It
is.
It's incredibly difficult. And anything that anyone can do to like lessen the strain on folks, whatever. I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm not a child. I can wait for my video games.
Yeah.
And you can always drag out the tired old Miyamoto quote. A bad game that comes out on time is bad forever.
Mm-hmm.
A delayed game is eventually good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. But, yeah. So the other game news, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate had a press conference earlier on Thursday.
That makes it sound like it was a bigger thing than it was.
Well, they made it sound like it was going to be a bigger thing than it was.
It was the same old thing they do where Mr. Sakurai sits behind a desk and just kind of like...
and uses five controllers.
Yeah, to play Smash Bros. For you.
Yeah. But they announced the final character in the first Fighter's Pass, the first round of DLC... and
don't get excited.
I'm not.
Because it's Fire Emblem Three Houses Byleth.
Yeah, so you know, Fire Emblem is a series that I think more people are into now than perhaps they were at one point, but it's still a game that maybe not a whole lot of people know about. The big thing I know about Fire Emblem is that Smash Brothers already has like 7 or 8 characters. I think there's more, as many if not more, Fire Emblem characters than there are Mario Universe characters.
I think there's like 1 or 2 more Mario guys.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it's there's more Fire Emblems than like Zeldas.
Yeah. And
and most of the Zeldas are just different links.
They're just different links. Yeah. And the thing with the Fire Emblem characters, with very few exception, they all are basically the same character with a different model, and maybe their attacks act slightly differently, but they're all variations on a theme.
They're all anime sword boys for the most part.
Yeah, they're all people that you would see cosplays of at OhioCon.
And be like, I think that's a Fire Emblem.
You would point to that and go, that's an anime.
That's a Marth.
That's, yep, toe to tip. Yeah. That's a Marth. But
I mean, at least this one has some cool, like, varied weapons.
Yeah, yeah. And I knew there was going to be someone from Fire Emblem Three Houses eventually, because it was the only game not represented at this point.
And it's really, really good.
Like, it's what I hear.
It deserves to be there.
Yeah.
Like, it really does.
I was really just kind of hoping they would push Fire Emblem character off to this second round of fighters.
Oh, that's what all 6 of the second round are Fire Emblem characters, probably. Yeah, Edelgard, Claude, Dimitri, the shopkeeper Anna that's in every Fire Emblem.
Yeah,
the cursor from Fire Emblem.
But yeah, I mean, this character, it looks fine. I probably won't play this character, but I have the Fighter's Pass, so I'm gonna get it. It's paid for already, so I'm gonna get it. But along with that announcement, they did announce a few other things. There are a couple of Mii Fighter costumes. One that looks really good, Cuphead.
Yeah, it just basically looks like Cuphead. It's
just Cuphead,
cool.
And it comes with a song from the game Cuphead, which. Oh, we should have played that.
Yeah.
We should have played that, because that's, yeah, because it's the song from Cagney Carnation's stage. Cuphead is based on, like, an old, like, 30s, like, cartoon shorts. And, like, it has a really cool orchestral kind of, like, jazz orchestral kind of song. And this skin pack comes with that song.
He's the Sans of this bunch of characters.
Yeah, and that's cool. I will probably get that one.
Yeah.
Because it's 75 cents.
Yeah, there's also Mega Man X, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Mega Man EXE.
Mm-hmm. Which is okay.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed Man.
Is that who
kind
that was?
Of, yeah. It's kind of a weird, like the first Assassin's Creed Man.
Okay.
Altair.
Okay.
It's kind of weird. Like, well, yeah. I guess he's not going to be a character, because that could very well be somebody they pull.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Nintendo has a good relationship with Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the rabbit's hats.
Yeah, there's a rabbit's hat, which I'm kind of surprised they just didn't put like a rabbit in as a character.
Yeah, yeah. The last thing they announced was there's going to be Fighter's Pass 2 with 6 characters in it. So we're going to get probably another year's worth of support for the game, at the very least. Didn't they say something about another single-player mode?
Did they?
It's like he like glossed over it, but I think he said something about like it's another along with the
my stream
spirits
got behind,
yeah.
And I just kind of skipped around.
Okay, yeah, but no, the next Fighter's Pass is going to have 6 characters. The characters are already picked. He said so.
Don't bug him on Twitter.
Don't. He specifically said don't bother me on Twitter.
I love how off the cuff he is on these things.
Oh, yeah.
It's just fun to watch him, like, kind of goof around and talk about his game.
Yeah, yeah, it is really cool. And it's neat that he still has passion for this game,
even
despite
though
it's
pretty killing
much,
him.
It is killing him, yeah. Yeah.
I love how they did the reveal, and then they cut back, and he's hanging up the posters on the wall himself.
Yeah.
Anybody else wouldn't have did it, right?
Yeah. just like the game.
Yeah.
That Sakurai has to do it himself. No one else would do it, right? But, yeah, I mean, this announcement is kind of, but
what did I
whatever.
Say? It's like getting socks for Christmas.
It is exactly like getting socks for Christmas. It's something you need, but... It's not that Lego set sitting next to it.
Yeah, you're not gonna get it. You're not gonna get excited about it.
Yeah, yeah.
If I didn't, I would probably be upset if I didn't love Three Houses so much.
Mm.
Like it's such a good game that it makes me go, well.
Yeah, and see, I've never played Three Houses. I've never really played a Fire Emblem, so I look at this character and I go, all right,
get Three Houses.
I probably should.
I'm not kidding. It's really good.
I probably should.
Like, it's the best Fire Emblem they've done since, I don't know, I want to say Awakening, the first 3DS one. Maybe, it's probably better than that one even, I don't know. It's really good.
Okay, yeah, I should really, yeah, I'll pick it up eventually. I'll find it used somewhere, you know. Okay, and to wrap things up, there were a couple other little things, but we could actually save them for next week, because they're, you know... They're more evergreen kind of news things. But the last thing we have here, and we mentioned this last week, we actually received an email from longtime listener Jerry.
Gonna reach in the old mailbag.
Gonna reach into the mailbag and pull out an email. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this email. I'm not going to read the entire thing. But he had some opinions on, he said he really liked our Rise of Skywalker review, and he wanted to kind of chime in with his 2 cents on it. He hasn't seen it yet, but he's giving his review based on what he's hearing from other people. That essentially what he's saying is that the Star Wars franchise kind of overextended themselves on the first two sequel films, didn't really know what to do with the franchise, and that he felt that fans of the franchise as a whole were so hyped up for Star Wars Episode IX, the end of the saga, that it would never live up to anyone's expectations, no matter what happened in the film, and that's why it's getting more negative reviews. And yeah, he said, "Fear not, Star Wars geeks, there shall surely be another meh, it didn't suck, it was okay Star Wars film in another year or two or three."
And yeah, he's right.
He's absolutely right. That's something we've kind of discussed off mic a little bit, but it's like, yeah, Star Wars is too big to succeed, and it's never going to please everybody.
And there's like such a big gap between the two different kinds. People, there's two sets of people that want two different things out of Star Wars.
Yeah. The one thing that I will kind of argue with Jerry on this, yeah, I agree that overall you're never going to make everybody happy all the time with it. I agree with that. However, I think these three movies, look at the sequel films as a trilogy. There wasn't like a unifying theme throughout.
Yeah.
They were with the original trilogy, they were more or less kind of a unified story. With the prequel movies, for better or worse, had a unified story. They weren't all split up. You had a first and a third movie written by one guy, and the second movie in the middle that tried to do something completely different with it.
They were playing Exquisite Corpse with the Star Wars franchise. Have you ever heard of that game?
I haven't.
It's the game where you write a story or a poem by passing a piece of paper around the room, and everybody writes like a couple lines.
Oh,
and you just see where it goes.
Well, that's how they used to write Space Ghost Coast to Coast episodes. They would write for one page of dialogue or 20 minutes and then pass it to the person to the right. There's a little mini documentary on that. But yeah, and that's, you're absolutely right. That's kind of what it feels like. And I think that even if it didn't make everybody happy, if the three films as a whole kind of fit together, it's almost like you have you took two puzzles and threw them together, and you have like you found
and
three
we
pieces.
Make the pieces fit.
And now you have to make the pieces fit, and you found three pieces that snap together correctly. Like the whatever, however the die cut them, it fit together right. But it's from two different puzzles. Like the one in the middle is from a different puzzle, so the picture's not quite right. It's not quite there. That's kind of where I see more of the complaints coming from.
Yeah, the only reason they did a trilogy is like, well, the other two are three.
Yeah, that's,
and not because we have a story that's three movies worth.
Uh-huh, yep. If they could have gotten away with doing one more to kind of end the whole thing and see where everyone ended up, I think they would have just done that. But on the flip side, they wouldn't have made a bunch of money if they just did one movie.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I agree with everything he said in his email. Yeah. And Jerry, thank you very much for emailing in. You can always email us in. Anyone can.
staff@nerdoverload.com.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll say it again here in a couple
minutes. We will say it here in just a minute. But speaking of which, I think we've pretty much hit the end of the show. So let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com. You can find us on various forms of social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram, by looking up Nerd Overload Now.
Check out those cosplay pics on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Give us your Star Wars opinion. No, you don't have to. We already got some of those. Yeah.
Something else, please.
Something else. Yeah. Yeah.
We've pretty much mined the Star Wars dry.
About.
You can give us a phone call and leave us a message on our special Nerd Overload answering machine at 586-372-8020.
That's right. We're also on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. So check us out over there.
If you scream Nerd Overload into your smart speaker, it might do something.
Actually, yes, it can.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't say it in here because I have one, but the Echo Dot, if you say the call words and then play Nerd Overload, it will play the most recent episode.
Wow, that's rad.
That's it. Actually,
have to set that up.
Didn't have to do a thing for that. Yeah. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. If you like the show and you want to help support us, you can head over there, check that out. You can actually get the show a couple days early, which is really cool. And I want to say thank you to David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.